This message from God's Word is being brought to you by Brother Kyle Rye at the Scenic Hills Church of Christ in Pensacola, Florida. As we continue our series about the devoted church, he brings us this lesson entitled, Devoted to Praise. This lesson had a slightly different format in that he spoke three times with us singing songs of praise in between each section. The scripture reading is from Colossians chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. And now, Brother Rye.
They devoted themselves to, and from there a list ensues of the activities in which the early church, the first century church, engaged. And you'll see in that same verse of Acts chapter 2 and verse 42 that they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, and we looked at what it meant to be devoted to God's word. And they devoted themselves to the fellowship, and we looked at what it meant earlier this summer to be devoted to fellowship. They were devoted to the breaking of bread and prayers, and both of those aspects of our spiritual lives we studied. In verse 43, the awe came upon every soul. Many wonders, signs were being done through the apostles, and all who believed were together and had all things in common, and they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And based on that description, we looked at how the church was devoted to benevolence. In verse 46, the passage continues. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and sincere hearts. And we studied just recently about how they were engaged in daily discipleship, that they were devoted to that daily engagement with one another. But verse 46 also bleeds into verse 47, and the first two words that appear in verse 47 is praising God. It says, if you read it in context, it says, and day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. In other words, praising God was part of that which they were devoted to, part of their daily activities. So the seventh detail we discover about the first century church is that they were devoted to praising God. What does that mean? What does that entail? Tonight, as we go through this service, we're going to spend a lot of time praising God. Paul has put together several songs and medleys for us to consider that concept. And what better way to study about praising God than to do it? What we need to notice as we get started tonight is that based on this passage, praising God permeated every aspect of the lives of the first century. Whether they were in the temple together or whether they were in their homes together, they were praising God. And maybe the best example of the priority placed on the praise of God is the behavior of Paul and Silas later in the book of Acts. In Acts chapter 16, when they were imprisoned in Philippi, and Luke tells us that despite their circumstances, despite being chained to the floor, they spent the evening praying and singing hymns to God. This evening, we want to turn our attention to praising God. We want to contemplate what it means to be devoted to praising God.
A reading of Psalm 95, verses 1 through 7. O come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving. Let us shout joyfully to him with psalms. For the Lord is a great God, and the great King above all gods. In his hand are the deep places of the earth. The heights of the hills are his also. The sea is his, for he made it, and his hands formed the dry land. O come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand.
You know, in order for us to really become devoted to praise, I think there's an important question we have to answer. And that is, who is it that benefits from our praise? If you will turn to Ephesians chapter 5, and I want to show you a passage there, and also in Colossians chapter 3 in just a moment. But it's in Ephesians chapter 5, between verses 17 and 19, that Paul provided some instructions about our praise. In fact, in Ephesians chapter 5, Paul instructed the church to speak to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I want you to notice in this passage that Paul instructs us to sing and make melody in our hearts to God. God is the one to whom our praise is to be directed. And according to Paul's instructions, God actually benefits from our praise because through our praise, He is thanked. Through our praise, gratitude is shown. Notice that the text indicates that not only is praise directed to God, but is a means of giving thanks always for all things to God. It is our ultimate source and our ultimate form of thankfulness. Because the ultimate purpose of our praise is to express our gratitude. So praising God is something to which the church should be devoted, so that God is properly thanked. And doesn't God deserve to be thanked? But that's not the only one that benefits from our praise. If you flip over to the book of Colossians and you look at chapter 3, verse 16, you'll see a sister passage to the one we just read in Ephesians 5. And it's there that Paul instructed the church in Colossae to let the word of God dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. That emphasis on our song, on our praise being directed to God is there in Colossians 3. But according to those instructions, Paul expects us to also teach and admonish each other through our praise to God. You know, it's interesting because Ephesians 5, Paul begins that passage with the statement that we're going to speak to one another through our songs, hymns, and spiritual songs. And what Paul in both of these letters is saying is that when we are praising God, there is a secondary individual who's benefiting, and that is those who experience our praise. Because through our praise, those present are taught, they're encouraged, they're corrected. Why do you think so many of David's songs are preserved for us in the book of Psalms? Because we learn from them. Because we're encouraged by them. Because at times we're even admonished by them. And I believe when you encounter people who are authentically praising God, you can't help but be affected by it. Thus, praising God is not just something that benefits Him and something to which the church should be devoted to because of that, but the church should be devoted to praising God because through it, all the participants maintain and mature their faith. But what's fascinating to me about these two passages we just journeyed through, Ephesians 5 and Colossians 3, is that nowhere in either of these passages does Paul address the benefits for the self. Do you know why? Because our time of praise is the one aspect of our worship assembly that is not about us. Here's what I mean. If you think about all aspects of our worship service, consider for a moment who the primary beneficiary is of each aspect. Right now, we are engaged in what we often refer to as the sermon or the lesson, the time of instruction, the time of teaching. It's our opportunity to study God's Word, make application. But who is this time really benefiting the most? Us. Well, depending on what you think of the preacher, I guess. And the thing is, the reason we study God's Word is because we need it. We need to learn it. And the study of God's Word is beneficial to those who are studying. Throughout the worship service, we engage in times of prayer. When we pray, though we pray to God, and though we pray for God's will to be done, and though we will communicate reverence to God, who's the primary beneficiary of our prayers? Because when we pray, we typically tend to focus on expressing our concerns and our needs and our requests and our thoughts and even our confessions. And prayer is a time that we communicate to God what we feel and what we need to say to Him. And though it's an opportunity for God to hear, God already knows. The purpose of prayer is ultimately to benefit us, for us to recognize and for us to learn from the fact that we need to communicate our needs to God. Many of the Psalms that David wrote weren't just songs. Some of them were actually prayers, because we benefit and learn from prayers. And think about the Lord's Supper, which we will provide the opportunity to partake of in just a moment. Every Lord's Day, every Sunday, we gather around the table to break the bread, to sip on the cup, and we do that to remember the Lord's death until He comes. It's a memorial designed to help you and I remember what Jesus did so that we can have salvation. Who benefits from that? Us. You see, when you really consider everything we do when we gather to worship God, we're doing it for our benefit, except for the time of praise. It's the time that we communicate to God what God deserves to hear all day long. And it's the time that we communicate in such a fashion that others can be uplifted and encouraged and taught and admonished. You see, praising God requires us to be selfless. But all too often, we approach our time of praise to God very selfishly. And I speak as one who is a guilty party in that matter. See, many of us treat our time of praise as an option, as the voluntary portion of our worship, as something that is secondary, when it's intended to be something that we are obedient to because it's commanded, because it's required, because it's expected, because it is primary. And what happens is a lot of times we choose when and if we praise. And if we don't like the song, we keep our lips closed. And when the service ends, the one thing that gets complained about the most, maybe next to the length of the sermon, is what? The time of praise. I didn't like the song selection. There weren't enough upbeat songs. There were too many old songs, not enough new songs. There were too many, and I didn't know so many of them. And on the list can go. And I know, because I'm a guilty party. And the problem is, when our complaints are geared towards those type of things, most of the time it's because our mindset is focused on what can I get out of this rather than what can I put into this. I believe the reason the first century church was so dedicated to praising God is because they understood it wasn't about them. And you and I have to develop that mindset if we want to be devoted to praising God as well. And let's do just that. Let's continue in our praise of God as Paul continues to lead us in song. One last thought on the subject of praising God. Another reason the early church was so dedicated to praising God is because they understood the priority that should be placed on the practice. You see, the author of Hebrews made an important statement in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 15. He said, "Let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God, that is the fruit of the lips that acknowledge His name." I want to focus in on that one word, continually. The author of Hebrews described the practice of praising God as something that is to be constantly done. This description indicates that praising God is expected to be a continual rather than an occasional practice. Maybe the first Christians, who were primarily Jewish, they understood this expectation since they grew up quoting Psalms like Psalm chapter 145 and verse 2, which says, "Every day I will bless you and praise your name forever and ever." Or Psalm chapter 113 and verse 3, "From the rising of the sun to the going down, the Lord's name is to be praised." Maybe they understood the continuality, or continuity, I should say, of praise because, well, in their memory work, it was something they learned. See, we should not limit praising God to the few hours during the week when we assemble for an organized worship service. We should make praising God a permanent fixture of our everyday lives, because I want you to think about this. When we get to heaven, what are we going to be doing? Maybe the old song Amazing Grace has it best written. When we've been there 10,000 years, shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun. See, the one thing that we're going to conclude when we enter those pearly gates is that God never received enough praise from us while we were here on this earth. And maybe, just maybe, that's why Paul wrote in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 17, "Whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him." See, being devoted to praise applies to our worship, but it also applies to our everyday lives. And so my challenge and my question for you this evening is, how are you going to ensure that God is praised after you leave this premises? How are you going to demonstrate devotion to praise after you leave here? You can start by making God the center of your universe. If you haven't become a child of God by confessing your faith in Jesus Christ as His Son, by repenting of your sins and being immersed in water, then why don't you start praising Him by making that decision? If you've made that decision, but God doesn't take the front seat, in fact, God isn't put in the driver's seat, then start praising Him by giving Him control of your life. I don't know what your need is tonight, but I know that God deserves your praise. So won't you give that to Him while together we stand and sing?
This message has been brought to you by the Scenic Hills Church of Christ in Pensacola, Florida. For questions, comments, prayers, or Bible study, please call, mail, or email us, or visit us on the internet at scenichillschurchofchrist.org. God bless.